The future of reporting now.
This is Concordia News Radio.
Good morning. It is currently 19 degrees at the Loyola campus of Concordia University. I'm Stephanie Manning, and here are today's headlines. How Quebec's teacher shortage is affecting English schools, gathering aid for hard-hit Morocco, and complaints about the REM noise are getting louder. As Quebec continues to fill over 1,000 vacant leadership positions across the province, not all school boards are feeling the impact equally. The English Montreal School Board says that its parents can breathe easy knowing that there is a teacher for every class. Joshua Allen has the story for us.
School has been underway for at least 2 weeks for all students across Quebec. However, some English school boards, such as the English Montreal School Board, say they are not facing such a shortage. Michael J. Cohen, the school board's marketing and communications manager, said that the school has been working nonstop to curb the effects of the teacher shortage.
We found a way to ensure that we have teachers in every classroom, and that's by working on this 12 months a year.
Though this is good news for the English Montreal School Board, it does not mean that all school boards are out of the woods yet, said Catherine Korakakis, the president of the English Parents Committee Association of Quebec. She explained that when the Quebec Education Ministry says that over 1,000 teachers are still missing, it does not specify whether Anglophone or Francophone schools are faring better or worse.
All the years past, it was across the board. You would get parents, you know, talking about, you know, missing teachers.
Last month, the Quebec Education Ministry made the controversial decision to begin hiring non-legally qualified teachers to fill teaching positions. Korakakis maintains that hiring such teachers takes professionalism out of teaching.
We've all had teachers that have not been the best. Teaching is more than just being a subject matter expert. There's more to teaching, right? It's an art.
Though the English Montreal School Board has implemented this measure, Cohen says that it would be limited to substitute teaching positions, and that teachers would be required to have bachelor's degrees in the fields that they teach. Joshua Allen, Concordia News, Montreal.
At a time where a growing number of families are struggling to put food on the table due to the rising costs of living, food aid for underprivileged school children will only begin in early October and stop in early June, before the end of the school year. Strict eligibility criteria is also making it inaccessible. Elena Meyer has the story for us.
Kate Tharog, executive director at Food Secure Canada, which promotes free lunches in schools, explains that these programs lack government funding.
A lot of these school food programs that are in existence right now, they have their own budgets and they do their own fundraising. And so when food prices increase, they are often unable to either meet the demand or the quality that they otherwise normally would. So you're seeing a lot of school food programs and either having to close down early.
Robert Frank, political analyst, believes food aid programs should not be our main focus.
The school lunch programs are not a very high political priority in Quebec. And certainly if we are looking at the needs of the educational system, the most crying area of need for Quebec education institutions is to reduce the atrocious dropout rate of young boys.
Food Secure Canada's ultimate goal is to create an accessible and universal food program across the country without separating children depending on their parents' income. For Concordia News, Elena Meyer.
Today marks the parliamentary return at the National Assembly in Quebec City. Starting today, the CAQ and opposition leaders will debate some hot topics. Marie-Elisabeth Milot is in the studio to discuss. So, Marie-Elisabeth, it looks like we'll be hearing a lot about the inflation this session.
Yes, inflation is on everybody's mind, especially when it comes to grocery shopping and housing. Quebecers will be waiting on the solutions plan for the economic update in November.
The government has been prioritizing the renewal of collective agreements. What are going to be the consequences of that?
The government claims they want to fight inflation, but they have paid 10.5% above the rates to counter it. They also lowered taxes and paid MPs a 30% retroactive raise since January 2023. They've just increased spending power when we should all be cutting back on it. Here's what Parti québécois de l'Union Republic Saint-Pierre-Plamondon has to say on inflation.
On regarde l'augmentation de 11% du panier d'épicerie depuis l'an dernier. Ça veut dire plus de 1 000 $ par année à l'épicerie. Puis on regarde la hausse des taux d'intérêt puis la hausse des loyers. Les gens font le calcul, puis évidemment, ils en arrivent à la conclusion qu'ils sont plus pauvres que l'an dernier.
So is there anything the CAQ should be worried about in this parliamentary session so they can get popularity?
Not really. There doesn't seem to be a real opposition leader, since some parties need to find a leader, such like the PLQ, the Liberal Party of Quebec, and they don't even compare to the CAQ in surveys. He's what political analyst Robert Frank has to say.
No, they have almost unprecedented popularity in the province of Quebec.
Thanks, Marie. That was Marie Elizabeth with our live debrief. This Friday, September 15th, marks the International Day of Democracy. Political parties in Quebec and Canada have called for a boycott of Facebook and Instagram that day. The protest is over Meta's blockage of news content to Canadian users. The CSN announced its support this morning, encouraging its member unions to participate. Meanwhile, the CAQ is taking the opportunity to make some fun of Quebec Solidaire, pointing out that despite their support for progressive policies, the QS have continued to take out ads on Facebook. After the devastating earthquake that hit Morocco over the weekend, Montrealers are stepping up through the collection of crucial supplies. One of the most successful donation bins is being run out of LaSalle College in Montreal. Student Lucas Burrell says people have been generous, but much more is needed. Jacob Snyder has the story.
Although the support and donations have been overwhelming so far, we are still in need of clothes, blankets, and diapers due to the sheer volume of people affected by the earthquake.
Have any organizations offered assistance for shipping supplies to the affected area?
Yes, both the Red Cross and the school have been in contact with our donation center, assisting in...
What makes the LaSalle College community want to help out so badly? They quickly jump to the aid of this nation.
When we heard about devastation online and from Fenech Batul, we knew we had to do something. There's a very strong sense of supporting our own here at LaSalle, and when we saw someone from that area was trying to help others that desperately needed it, we were right behind her.
What role did Fenech Batul have in setting up the donation center?
It was actually the school who originally set up the donation bin. What Fenech did was raise a huge amount of awareness for it. Without her, this bin would have been maybe half full. Now we've filled over 10 bins with supplies, and it doesn't look like it'll be slowing down anytime soon.
Going forward, what are the next steps Fenech or the school or even some of the organizations you've been in contact with have planned to continue to provide assistance to the country?
There have been discussions of taking a trip out there once it seems safe to try and provide assistance on the ground, whatever that may look like.
A pedestrian died last night after being struck by a car in Laval's Chaumadet district. The 48-year-old man was crossing Clarue Boulevard when police say he was hit around 9:20 p.m. He was taken to hospital and later pronounced dead. The driver, a 21-year-old woman, was not hurt. Police say they do not suspect impaired or distracted driving. Since Montreal's new REM light rail opened in July, local residents and workers have complained that the train is too loud, and their complaints are only increasing. Finn Lean is joining us live from Griffintown, where a future station will be opening. Finn, I hear the REM has been running smoothly so far.
Good morning, Stephanie. Yes, that is correct. The new train is up and running with 5 stations going from Brossard to the Central Station. According to the website, the REM does pass frequently under 4 minutes during peak hours. One odd thing, however, is that I'm standing near the station that's supposed to be open but didn't open with the rest of the network, and there's no set date for it to open.
There have been a lot of complaints about the noise. How are things sounding where you are right now?
Yeah, that's right, Stephanie. I'm standing just below the track on a side road, and it is noisy, but it's not deafening, but it is loud. When the train passes, there's a rumbling sound with a bit of screeching before it drives away. I talked to several people who live in the area, but unless they live right beside the track, they don't seem to care too much about the noise. Most people I passed along the street just said that it doesn't bother them much unless they are out and about beside the track.
So I live at the 4th floor, and there is a building in front of me. I live at the end street, and I don't hear the rain. Okay, if I leave my window open, I can hear it, but it's not disturbing for me.
Other people do think that the noise coming from the train is a problem, especially the closer they are to the track. I talked to someone who has friends who live quite close to the new track.
Yeah, so basically on the daily basis, like, they can hear the noise, which is really bothering. And like, they can hear it like from the apartment, from the balcony, and like, it's really disturbing, right?
So Finn, is there anything done being about the noise?
So according to the REM website, they are taking action to reduce the amount of noise coming from passing trains. One of these ways is to put in noise barriers. These look like panels that run beside the track, and inside there is insulation to help absorb the sound. People around are hoping that these measures will help to reduce the noise. I should note, though, that at least where I'm standing, I cannot see any of these panels in place, and there's no sign of construction for them just yet. Stephanie?
Thanks, Finn. That was Finn Lean, live in Griffintown. Car-owning Montrealers have been struggling to get repairs done, especially those with electric vehicles. The Automotive Industries Association of Canada is preparing to testify this evening to advocate for Bill 29, which serves to protect consumers against obsolescence and their right to automotive repair. Corinne Boyer has the story.
It is already quite difficult to get your cars repaired, as it has been monopolized by big car companies. Electric cars have only made things worse. That's because they need a lot of data for repairs that isn't available to local garages.
On souhaite que les gens aient droit à la réparation. On ne souhaite pas l'obsolescence programmée. Donc, si le gouvernement peut trouver des moyens de protéger les consommateurs,
and we do not wish for monopolized access. So if the government can find a way to protect consumers against these phenomena, we are all for it. Healthy competition for car maintenance in the repair market must continue. The automotive industry must offer continued and reliable service.
We're seeing an increased number of occurrences where consumers who are going to the local garage are finding increasingly more difficult to get the service they're looking for at a competitive price.
Bill 29 will not only have an impact on consumers' ability for access to repairs, it will also have an impact on the future of electric vehicles and the public's willingness to buy them.
If we don't have a legislative framework that ensures the consumer's right to choose and the capacity to get their car serviced, close to where they live, and have been, for a long time, that we know it's going to have an impact on their willingness to buy an EV. And in fact, we've surveyed the populations, and 75% of the respondents said they're less likely to buy an EV if they know it could only be serviced by the dealership where they bought the vehicle.
There you have it. The future of the car industry depends on Bill 29. Corinne Boyer for Concordia News.
Montreal police say the Ontario man who mailed suicide kits around the world also mailed them to local residents. Kenneth Law was arrested in May on charges of aiding and abetting suicide by mailing kits containing sodium nitrate. This substance can be fatal when ingested in large doses. Montreal police have opened their own investigation into Law, who is believed to be linked to 120 deaths. Anyone in possession of a kit is instructed to call 911. Hockey is just around the corner. Bad news for Blue Jays fans, and an NFL star gets injured just as the season begins. Here's Gianni Torchia with all of your sports news.
Is he limping? Buffalo's not defense. He's down.
No.
That was Peyton Manning on ESPN reacting to the game last night. Jets fans are feeling mixed emotions right now after winning against the Buffalo Bills 22-16. Yet they have lost their star quarterback Aaron Rodgers after he tore his ACL during the first quarter.
The Blue Jays are going to need to hit, and they're going to need to hit better pitching down the stretch if they plan to play October baseball. We saw that they
Sportsnet announced his disappointment in the Toronto Blue Jays loss yesterday against the Texas Rangers after they allowed 5 runs in the 7th inning. The Blue Jays faced a devastating loss of 10-4. The Blue Jays are going to have to improve their overall offense to have any chance of beating the Rangers in another match against them happening today. Hockey fans will be excited to hear that the new NHL preseason will begin this Saturday. Montreal Canadiens captain Nick Suzuki says the team is ready and hungry to win the whole season.
Yeah, 100%. I mean, we don't play to not make the playoffs, so I think it should be every team's goal to make the playoffs.
The Habs play their first game on Monday, the 25th, against the Jersey Devils.
Thanks, Gianni. That's Gianni Torchia with sports news. Elon Musk is a third-time father after having another child with Canadian singer-songwriter Grimes. If you're looking for delicious food to start your week, the Martinique Gourmand Festival starts tonight in the Old Port. And the Drew Barrymore Show has sparked backlash for filming amid the actor and writer's strike. Ellie Wand has all of our arts news.
Please welcome Drew Barrymore.
The Drew Barrymore Show has started filming its fourth season in spite of the ongoing writers and actors strike, which has sparked some backlash. The talk show is under a network television code contract, which is not the same as the television theatrical streaming contracts, which expired following failed negotiations with the Alliance of Motion Pictures and Television Producers, resulting in the strike. Still, many are saying this decision does not support the strike, as its employees that are members of the Writers Guild of America will not be involved in the upcoming season. The Martinique Gourmand Festival starts tonight at 7 p.m. at the Pavillon d'Iberville on the Grand Quai of the Port of Montreal. The festival, which first began in Montreal in 2008, will feature Martinique drinks and cuisine. So if you're in the mood for some tasty food and drinks, head down to Old Port tonight to check out the festival. An Elon Musk biography by author Walter Isaacson was released today, but perhaps the most interesting part of this story happened over the weekend. A New York Times review of the biography revealed that the CEO and founder of SpaceX and Tesla has had a third child with Canadian singer-songwriter Grimes. Musk confirmed this on Saturday through a post on X, formerly Twitter, announcing that their child has been named Tau Techno Mechanicus.
Wow, that's quite the name. Thanks, Ellie. That's Ellie Wand with our arts news. Justin Trudeau is finally back in the air this morning after an unexpected delay in India. Technicians discovered a faulty part on the Prime Minister's plane on Sunday, delaying his departure from New Delhi after the G20 summit. A technician was flown over, and the original plane took off at around 3:40 a.m. this morning. The aging plane the Prime Minister has been using is set to be replaced later this fall. Clouds will increase over the rest of today, with showers and potential thunderstorms arriving after midnight. Tomorrow is expected to be rainy with a high of 19 degrees. However, the rest of the week should bring sunny skies and an eventual warming to 23 degrees this weekend. That's your news to 11:30. Thanks for listening. For Concordia News, I'm Stephanie Manning.